station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Tuesday, February 20th, in the headlines. United Workers' Party political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine urges the DLP government to pay their debts to Wesley residents for land acquisitions and improve their living standards in relocated accommodations.
Q95DA.com.
A Caribbean Energy Chamber has been established aimed at raising awareness of the Caribbean's energy challenges and prioritize achieving affordable net zero energy security in the region. And the Palestinian representatives urged UN judges to deem Israel's occupation of their territory illegal, stating that such a ruling could facilitate a two-state solution and lasting peace. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Switch to a Ready Cash loan today. Bring your loan to us and get 25% off your interest rate. Get flexible payment terms, fast approval, and hassle-free service so you can do all the important things you need with ease. All you need is your ID, proof of address, payslip, job letter, and two references. Visit us in-store or apply online at www.shopcourts.com. Courts Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Conditions apply.
Leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, has called upon the ruling DLP government to promptly address several pressing issues affecting the people of Wesley. He emphasized the urgent need to settle all outstanding debts owed to the residents for land acquired for the construction of an international airport. Additionally, Mr. Fontaine stressed the importance of enhancing living conditions for those displaced by the airport project, emphasizing that the government's responsibility to provide suitable accommodations for them.
On the issue of the proposed international airport, we urge the government of Dominica to immediately settle all outstanding claims to the residents of Bottom Wesley, Matisse, Bodham, Walk and Rest, Eden, Palm Tree, Boyle Joe, and John the Peace, and also to address the issue of no electricity, the poor road conditions, and the existing dust that is creating a health problem for those in the area. We also urge the government to settle all the outstanding claims to the many small business owners and others who are owed by this government. In addition, the government should immediately stop the humiliation and embarrassment of our young people at foreign universities by paying their tuition and meeting their expenses as promised to them.
Dr. Fontaine provided reassurance to the youth of Dominica, affirming that the United Workers Party's commitment to creating employment opportunities and to enhancing education and sports prospects for young people. He lamented that the underlization of sports talent within the country.
Let me reassure the young people of Dominica that the UWP Team Dominica will spare no effort in working to create both jobs and educational and sporting opportunities for you. I cannot describe the pain and anguish that I feel when I see the condition of some of our young people in Dominica, particularly the young men. A UWP Team Dominica will have a focus on the building of sports facilities and the promotion of sports throughout the school system. Rather than take away the country's playing fields, we will ensure that new and better facilities are erected all over the island. Our country will merge the tremendous natural talent of its young people with the required spending on facilities to ensure that Dominica is an outstanding example in the Caribbean where sports is concerned. In that regard, let me congratulate Ali Afanas and Kevin Munch for being a part of the West Indies senior cricket team, and Stefan Pascal for captaining the West Indies under-19 squad. Congratulations as well to the Dominica under-20 football team for their great success in preparation towards a regional competition. I also wish to congratulate the Dominica women's T20 squad, and in particular, Pulitian, Bernicia Fontaine, and Amelia Gilbert for making the Windward squad. To our young people, I appeal to you to keep believing, get involved in your political future, and support Team Dominica in making that change happen.
And that was United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Pastor Randy Rodney, host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, has shed light on concerning cultural phenomenon prevalent in Dominica. According to him, there exists a disparity in how individuals are treated by authorities, where some are seen to evade repercussions for their actions, while others face strict penalties. This discrepancy becomes even more pronounced, he added, when certain individuals are punished for actions that some perceived as being illegal, while others seemingly escaped scrutiny for similar behaviors.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the Commonwealth of Dominica, we seem to have a malaise of some people can get away with some stuff and others will not. In fact, it gets worse when others or some are penalized and punished for things that in the eyes of many people are not negligible or not even illegal, and others get away scot-free. And every one of you in our audience today, I'm sure, will know at least one case of that happening in the Commonwealth of Dominica. Now, as people who believe in Bible and believe in the fact that we must live in an equitable, fair society, we also believe that selective justice serves no justice at all. If it's selective, then it's no justice. In fact, what it does is that it sponsors injustice. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is that it gives some people the inalienable right to do what they want, even if they do it against the rule of law, and others are not even able to cough in the public. Literally that.
Pastor Rodney elaborated that the practice of selective justice not only undermines the effectiveness of the legal system, but also hampers the functioning of a democratic society.
Selective justice impairs the efficiency of all kinds of justice, criminal justice and whatever you want to look at it. So really and truly, it paralyzes a democratic state. And we are in a place in the lovely Commonwealth of Dominica when it appears that we are being paralyzed in that regard.
Pastor Randy Rodney, host of Q95 Kingdom Connection program. President of the United Workers Party, Lennox Linton, has spoken out regarding his ongoing legal proceedings related to an alleged incitement from 2017. Linton, who has been engaged in this legal battle for several years, asserts his rights as a citizen of Dominica to a fair trial within a reasonable time frame, as guaranteed by the Constitution. He contends that he has not only seen evidence to support for the notion that he is facing an independent trial, or that he has received fair treatment within the expected time frame.
I've been before the court now for 7 years on this matter. And as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Dominica, the Constitution guarantees me the right to a fair trial within reasonable time by an independent trial. There is no evidence before me that I am before an independent trial. Mm-hmm. And there's no evidence either that I have received a fair trial within reasonable time. So on that, my constitutional right has been totally and absolutely vetted. And so I am a clear victim of injustice in a system that is supposed to be fair and a system that's supposed to be just. Now, since being called before the court, I have never not appeared in court. And through the 7 years, there have been delays after delays after delays. There was one occasion when Mr. James and I was supposed to have appeared in court back in 2019, having habitually come to the court in the afternoon from 1 o'clock. When we felt that day, we were getting ready to go to the court at 1 o'clock. As usual, and the hearing turned out to be in the morning. When they called for us in the morning and we were not there, because of course we were expecting to be in court in the afternoon, when it was it was found that we were not on the compound, there was some very hasty match concluded to have a bench warrant issued for us.
Linton emphasized that law enforcement lacks the jurisdiction to determine the duration of United Workers Party gatherings unless their decision adheres to specific provisions outlined in the Noise Amendment Act of the Constitution.
That sparked a lot of confusion, that sparked some protest action, especially in the community of Paraguay, because of course what the people were seeing was yet another act of injustice being piled on to this great injustice that's already been committed against these gentlemen. For what? And what I'm before the court for is actually very intriguing. You know, I said at the meeting, the police have no lawful authority to determine when the meeting will end, except under the provisions of the Noise Abatement Act. And so, it being 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have some business that has not been fully transacted at our meeting. Our meeting will finish when our meeting will finish.
And that was the president of the United Workers Party, Lennox Linton. The Ubuntu Awakening Summit, organized by Umoja Generational Wealth Company, commenced on Monday, February 5th, with a gala dinner featuring an African dress code. The summit delved into themes surrounding Ubuntu economics, culture, and history. The significance of the summit lies in its mission to awaken a sense of identity and prosperity among attendees. Emphasizing the historical context, the event aimed to reverse the trajectory of the transatlantic enslavement trade, which began with Arab slavery in the East and continued through Portuguese, Spanish, British, German, and Dutch colonialism. According to Jacky Bernat, a member of the organizing committee, the summit serves as a foundational step towards reclaiming heritage and facilitating the return of African diaspora. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95de.com. In a recent announcement, Mrs. Teresa Turner-Jones, Director of Projects at the Caribbean Development Bank, unveiled a significant initiative aimed at tackling the pressing issue of youth unemployment in the region. Turner-Jones disclosed the nearly 100 projects totaling an investment of US$30 million are currently underway as part of the bank's flagship poverty reduction program, the Basic Needs Trust Fund. These projects are specifically tailored to address the escalating problem of youth unemployment, which has seen a substantial rise in recent years across the region.
Under the bank's flagship poverty reduction program, otherwise known as the Basic Needs Trust Fund, close to 100 projects are under implementation, representing an investment of $30 million. These projects, which focus on the region's poorest communities, demonstrate our commitment to poverty reduction and creating economic opportunities. Here is a powerful example. We opened the Caribbean's first state-of-the-art therapeutic center at the Maxfield Park Children's Home in Jamaica. Now, this center goes beyond providing medical treatment. It offers an holistic approach for victims of child abuse with counseling and intervention guidance, all under one roof. The bank's Youth Economy Project in St. Lucia invests $6 million in young entrepreneurs, aiming to curb unemployment, and you heard the data from Ian that youth unemployment is higher, and crime. By offering capital and training, this program empowers youth at risk of gang violence and fosters social and economic resilience in the region.
Mrs. Teresa Turner-Jones, Director of Projects at the Caribbean Development Bank. In other news, the Caribbean Energy Chamber is being established for greater global recognition of the energy challenges faced by the Caribbean and to prioritize affordable net zero energy security for the region. The new Pan-Caribbean Chamber is a non-profit, non-partisan, and independent organization governed by a 23-member founding board for the first 3 years, with the CEC members electing a new board on an annual basis thereafter. CEC membership will comprise of companies and individuals from the Caribbean and around the globe. According to Melanie Chen, the founding chair, the chamber will serve as a hub for uniting all energy stakeholders in the Caribbean, including those from both public and private sectors, demand and supply sides, adding that they will host workshops, roundtables, and breakout sessions at conferences aimed at enabling actions to help the implementation of energy transition and security in the Caribbean. The establishment of CEC with its headquarters in St. Lucia is seen as a timely and valuable by the regional governments and institutions. This is due to the open nature of Caribbean economics and the pragmatic foreign policy of most Caribbean leaders. They actively collaborate with international institutions and allies worldwide to ensure the well-being of their citizens. And on Monday, Palestinian representatives called on judges at the UN's top court to declare Israel's control of their land as unlawful. They believe this opinion could help bring around a two-state solution and lasting peace. The hearings began this week at the International Court of Justice, ICJ, in The Hague. The UN General Assembly requested an advisory or non-binding opinion on the occupation back in 2022. Over 50 countries will present their arguments until February 2024.
The only solution consistent with international law is for this illegal occupation to come to an immediate, unconditional, and total end.
Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki demanded an end to Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories at the top UN court in The Hague on Monday, as the International Court of Justice opened hearings on the occupation's legal status. The case follows a 2022 request from the UN General Assembly for an advisory or non-binding opinion.
The genocide underway in Gaza is a result of decades of impunity and inaction. Ending Israel's impunity is a moral, political, and legal imperative. Successive Israeli governments have given the Palestinian people only three options: displacement, subjugation, or death. These are the choices: ethnic cleansing, apartheid, or genocide.
Israel denies those allegations. It captured the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, areas of historic Palestine which the Palestinians want for a state, in a 1967 war, and has since built settlements in the West Bank and steadily expanded them. The United Nations has referred to the territories as occupied by Israel since 1967. And demanded that Israeli forces withdraw, saying it is the only way to secure peace. But its 1967 resolution didn't specifically label the occupation illegal. More than 50 states will present arguments before the ICJ over a week, including the United States, Israel's strongest supporter, China, Russia, South Africa, and Egypt. Israel will not, although it has sent written observations. The case opened as concerns mount about a planned Israeli ground offensive against the Gaza city of Rafah. And less than a month after the World Court ordered Israel to do everything in its power to prevent acts of genocide in Gaza in a separate case. The 15-judge panel is expected to take about 6 months to issue an opinion. Judges have been asked to review Israel's, quote, occupation, settlement and annexation.
That's the media news, and here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers Party political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine urges the DLP government to pay their debts to Wesley residents for land acquisitions and improve their living standards in relocated accommodation. A Caribbean Energy Chamber has been established aimed at raising awareness of the Caribbean's energy challenges and prioritize achieving affordable net zero energy security in the region. And Palestinian representatives urged UN judges to deem Israel's occupation of their territory illegal, stating that such a ruling could facilitate a two-state solution and lasting peace. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Felice Valmond.
Q95DA.com. Right on cue.